188 years ago this week, a small band of valiant men began a long struggle for freedom. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, not only to found a nation, but to forge an ideal of freedom.
Too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Greetings, white America. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier from my log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia. Every day, we battle the loony left.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
But still, we manage to persevere because the good guys always win, even in the 20s. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. It is me, Tommy Freedom, coming at you for another half hour here. Now, if anything good could have come out of this, if there is a silver lining to be found in all of this coronavirus nonsense, I think I may have found it. I mean, we have been displaced, and inconvenienced is not even a word that even comes close to how this has affected the Americans, our economy in particular. I just saw a statistic last week that said 62,000 jobs are never coming back. And not just jobs, these are businesses. So I phrased that wrong. So the amount of jobs would be much, much more than that. 62,000 businesses that were forced to close because of this crap aren't coming back. They're gone. They're out of business. They filed for bankruptcy. They're just gone. That is a huge blow to this economy. But there's one thing that we have been lamenting about for years, and that is the institutionalizational learning, if that's even a word, institutionalizational, institutional learning, I guess, would be better, that's forced upon us in our public school system. Well, my friends, I found an article that addresses this very well, and it says, the death of public schools, possibly, 40% of parents are now looking at homeschooling after all of this lockdown nonsense ends. Well, folks, the liberals have had a virtual monopoly on our young children's minds for the past 50, 60, maybe even 70 years, but definitely within the past 50 years, they have been shaping this radical agenda to mold our children's minds. Folks, 40% is almost half. Can you imagine if one half of our schooling suddenly now is going to be done from home from here on out? They will have lost that monopoly, that grasp with those talons just squeezing on our young kids' heads and reshaping their minds. In a recent poll of over 2,100 voters shows that the future of public schools could be in great jeopardy when communities and states come out of lockdowns across the nation. A survey of 2,122 registered voters by the Real Clear Opinion Research, never heard of them before, and this is a small poll, but still the numbers are awesome if this pans out. It shows that support for educational choice is very strong and that a plurality of parents are more likely to pursue homeschooling opportunities after the COVID-19 lockdowns end. The polling results show that 40% of families are more likely to homeschool or virtual school after lockdowns and that 64% support school choice. Now, I don't support school choice people move to nice neighborhoods and pay higher taxes so that their children can go to their neighborhood schools. But it's still showing that people are now looking outside the box from our traditional public schooling systems. John Schilling, who serves as the president of the American Federation for Children, had this to say about the stunning results of this survey. Every single family with kids in school has been incredibly disrupted by the lockdowns. With 55 million students no longer in their normal educational setting, families are clearly considering new options, and many are seeing the benefits of homeschooling and virtual schooling. This is the time for leadership and for desperately needed bold reforms to be implemented across our K-12 educational system. Amen. He goes on to say, millions of families are seeing the inadequacies of school districts that are too inflexible. Zero tolerance, anyone? We owe it to our nation's families and students to give them more flexibility and additional educational options. Magnet schools, charter schools. Moreover, policymakers owe it to the taxpayers who are footing the $800 billion K-12 education bill to maximize their investment by ensuring every child has access to a quality education and outcomes are improved across the board. Now, the polling data showed that the support of homeschooling in the fall is supported by 45.7% of voters who identify as members of the Democratic Party. That is phenomenal. That's almost half. And since it says that 40% across the board, this is actually showing now that those who were polled and interviewed on this, that Democrats now are going to be more likely to take their kids out of these liberal school systems and homeschool them themselves. That could be good. That could be bad. Depends upon how the parents are. You know, if they're really left-wing radical wackos, it could be worse. But hell, they're probably teaching that stuff at home anyway. 50% of those who support homeschooling after lockdowns and also identify as members of the Black community, and that school choice is being supported by at least 60% of voters across the entire political spectrum. This is huge, folks. This was a long time in coming, and it's time that it finally got here. People have been clamoring this for years, that we're tired of our kids being indoctrinated, for lack of a better term, in these public schools. And it's time that something was done about it. And if there is anything good, a silver lining, like I said, to come out of all of this, this is certainly it. Because in another 20 years, those homeschooled kids will be the ones being elected into office and starting to run this country and teach their children. So that is awesome news. Now, here's another poll that comes out with the magic 40% number too, and that is 40% of Americans are now refusing to buy made-in-China products after the coronavirus. And this new survey of American consumers reveals that 41% of the nation won't buy products made in China in the wake of the global Chinese coronavirus pandemic. The survey was conducted by WTI Consulting and reveals a wide dissatisfaction with trade with China as a result of the coronavirus disease and the nation's authoritarian communist government's cover-up. They pissed a lot of people off. They really did. Additional statistics gauged from the sample size of 1,012 people. Again, this is a fairly small poll, but these numbers are encouraging. The respondents revealed broad support for America First trade and economic measures. 78% of Americans are now willing to pay more for products that move manufacturing back home from China, and 66% favor broadening tariff policies as opposed to making more free trade agreements. And I certainly am one of those 66%. The United States had signed a limited trade agreement with China in January before the whole coronavirus pandemic debacle started, and it required the nation to spend a considerable amount on the importation of American-made products to offset the massive trade imbalance between the two countries. The implementation of that agreement appears largely in doubt, with a majority of Americans doubting that China will live up to its commitments and a large percentage of Chinese citizens refusing to buy American-made products in return. A temporary pause of restrictive trade measures placed on China by the American government may come to an end as the Trump administration reconsiders its long-term China policy approach in the aftermath of COVID. President Trump has suggested that the United States could cut off the whole relationship in its entirety, folks. It's time to take this country back. And again, if this is a side effect of all the trouble that's come about because of this, it is very encouraging to see. Yeah, bring everything back to America. Let's get stuff made here again. Let's get our kids taught proper history. Something I was reading, and it may have been in one of those articles, I don't remember, that talked about the things that are no longer taught in schools. And I was surprised that music isn't taught in a lot of schools anymore. Shop, auto mechanics, things like that. Your trades particularly aren't being taught in public schools anymore. I guess it requires a lot of additional funding, you know, to buy stuff that you would have in an auto shop or in industrial arts, is what we used to call it, I guess, in middle school. We called it industrial arts. And then we got to high school. I don't even remember what they called it there. But we had a huge section in our high school that I went to. Of course, I did go to a high school the first 2 years of high school. I spent up north in a town in Connecticut, and I guess I got spoiled because we had drafting machines for each of the students. We had our own blueprint printing machine. The hallways were carpeted. The walls had sound panels on them. I mean, it was a really, really nice public school. And when I came down here to North Carolina, and I saw the difference. They had drafting boards. We had to pay for our own paper. And the auto mechanics class, it was just like one little room. I could not believe the difference. And I love drafting. I'm an artist, so I took to drafting. Did very well in the school I came from up north. And I was very, very surprised to see that everybody was using drafting boards and we were actually using ink pens. For certain stuff. That's how backwards it was. And I couldn't believe it. And I needed a piece of paper. I think I'd been there maybe 2 or 3 days. And I went up to the teacher and said, I need a sheet of paper. He said, that'll be a nickel. And I looked at him like he had three eyes. And I said, are you serious? And he said very sternly, of course I'm serious. I don't joke around about things like that. If you want a piece of paper, you're going to have to pay a nickel for it. Well, somehow or another, I had a nickel in my pocket. Why, I don't know, because I typically don't carry change. So I paid the nickel for the piece of paper, and I was just, I'd had it. Just a few days in. And after a couple weeks, the final straw was when he told us all to draw an inch. So being an artist, I laid this thing out beautifully. I mean, it was perfect. It was a foot long. Everything was done. I had it measured. I turned it in and came back with a big red F on it. And I went up to him. I said, what's the meaning of this F? I laid this thing out perfectly. And he looked at me and said, I told you to draw an inch, not lay one out. So I turned the piece of paper. I sketched out an inch, handed it to him. He put a green A on it and handed it back to me. When I left out of class that day, I went to the principal's office and said, you better get me out of that class. Put me in something else. I don't care what it is, but get me out of that class. That was the nonsense. That's just an example of some of the nonsense that we were starting to be taught back then. But we were taught history that you just aren't taught anymore. American history, World War II, world history. My God, my senior year in our world history class, because we took U.S. history our junior year and our senior year was world history. And the particular teacher that I had was very open to things, and I loved giving oral presentations. I was actually complimented on that by many of the students in my yearbook when they signed it at the end of the year, my interesting oral presentations. Even as far back as high school, I had no problem speaking publicly. It just never bothered me. And we were studying Egypt, and my brother was a combat photographer in the U.S. Navy, and he had gone over to Egypt, and all through the whole desert there where they had the Six-Day War, and he'd found a grenaded machine gun post, and he picked up some items which he brought back. I did not keep the guy's hat that had blood and brain stains all over that. I did throw that away, but he brought back a section of the guy's arm that was the ulna bone, a piece about 5 inches long, which I think today if you took that to school you'd be facing criminal charges or something. But he brought me some Egyptian money and an Egyptian newspaper, some Egyptian sea rats, their military meals at the time. And I had a couple of spent 50 caliber machine gun shells, 50 BMG, and of course, this bone. And I gave an oral presentation on Egypt, and I passed the bone out, and it's going up and down the aisles, passing this human arm bone around. Again, I don't think you could get away with that today. There was a picture in my senior year book of my American history teacher holding a scatter gun. It was an old black powder shotgun that he brought to school. And there's a picture of him holding his gun outside of his trailer. I don't mean his home trailer. I mean the classroom trailers. And on the adjacent page is a picture of a teacher holding a bottle of wine. You just cannot do that in this day and age. And back to my oral presentations, somehow I don't know how it came up, but I did an oral presentation in world history class on shooting someone and claiming self-defense. So those were the times back then, and you just cannot do that in school anymore. This whole zero tolerance policy crap, you know, pointing a gun at someone and saying, bang, I mean, that's a gun? Drawing a picture of a gun gets you thrown out of class? Giving a Tylenol to a fellow student that has a headache gets you thrown out of school? I mean, it's just absolute nonsense. And again, if anything good has come out of this whole lockdown crap, this nonsense, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the silver lining that we needed to get back to reality on this. And it's the one thing that we have been looking for so long, and that is to get public education out of our children's minds once and for all.
It's Tommy Freedom.
You know, no matter how hard I try and escape this whole COVID-19 nonsense, it doesn't matter where I look, it's involved in everything that you see on the news. Now, here's another article. Vicious nursing home attacker had COVID-19 and was quarantined among the elderly despite mental illness and felony charges. And this is coming from the state of Michigan, once again, under the iron rule of Gretchen Whitmer. And shocking developments have come to light in this case because it involves a young black man who brutally battered an elderly military veteran at a nursing home in a video that has gone viral on social media. And the father of the assailant is now speaking out, saying that his son suffers from serious mental illness and was quarantined in a nursing home with at-risk elderly people after testing positive for COVID-19. Kimberly Craig of WXYZ, gotta love that one, broke this insane news that shows how the most vulnerable are being put at risk due to the decisions of government bureaucrats and the so-called first responders. He has issues, and for them to put him in a facility like that, nothing good was going to happen, the suspect's father said. And he also went on to say that his son had been taken to a group home for supervision, but had a mental health relapse, and he was hearing voices in his head. When he was taken to the University of Michigan Hospital for supervision as a result, he was diagnosed with COVID-19 on top of it. And that's when he was taken to the Westwood Nursing Center, where he would commit his savage assault on this elderly man. It's unknown whether or not the nursing home called the police to alert them about the assault. Well, if they didn't, there better be some serious charges filed here. Again, it's not known whether they called to report the assault that had taken place in their facility, but the assailant is currently in police custody and is yet to be determined if he will be charged for what he did. Well, he damn well better sure be charged. I don't care if he's mentally unstable or not. He committed this crime and he needs to be punished for it. His father goes on to say this: he never should have been housed, quarantined with the victim that he eventually assaulted. That should have never happened. Someone dropped the ball. Oh yeah, someone dropped the ball, all right, and the person who dropped the ball was Governor Gretchen Whitmer, because she issued a directive that forced COVID-19 patients to be housed in nursing homes. How insane is this? Big League Politics has reported on how state Democrats are turning on Whitmer for essentially issuing death sentences to the elderly with her incomprehensible and arguably genocidal policy prescriptions. This is what they had to say. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer's heavy-handed authoritarian governance has made her a pariah throughout the state, and Democrats are starting to become frustrated with her leadership as a result. State Representative Leslie Love from Detroit is flabbergasted over Whitmer's order to send coronavirus patients into nursing homes, which has resulted in an untold number of unnecessary deaths by putting the most vulnerable population at needless risk. To return seniors into an environment, seniors with the virus still recovering from the virus, into an environment with, well, seniors, just doesn't even seem, it's not a good idea, Love said. Boy, talk about not making any sense. That guaranteed she's black. Anyway, Whitmer made an executive order in April that mandated seniors diagnosed with COVID-19 to be placed into nursing homes, called regional hubs, to be around other healthy seniors. Why? State officials claim that the policy is effective because of distance requirements that are required between the healthy and unhealthy seniors. No, if they're unhealthy, you need to keep them sequestered from everyone, you moron. It's a good move, a good step to make these regional hubs, and I think as we move forward, we have to look at making sure we're really implementing best practices, looking to other best practices across the state. And this came from Chief Medical Executive Jonai S. Khaldun. Jeez, these people and their names. Initially, the state wanted to put the six seniors at the TCF Center in Detroit, but that became untenable after the site was shut down. This meant that seniors with coronavirus were put into nursing homes among the vulnerable instead. Love is worried about individuals in nursing homes throughout the state, including her 86-year-old mother, catching the highly infectious disease. That would break my heart because I've been on the front lines of this trying to make sure our seniors, my mother, your mother, everybody else's mother, does not get sick and die from this, particularly if they're in a nursing home, Love said. And that's what Big League Politics had to say on it. Complicit government officials like Whitmer want to keep the panic going so they cannot be held accountable for their crimes against humanity and how they have responded to this pandemic, folks. It's time to hold them accountable. I know these lawsuits are going on, but until people like Whitmer are actually held accountable for this, I don't know, they've got to be sued, they've got to be stopped, they've got to be removed from office, I don't know. Eventually, if it keeps going, somebody's going to make the decision for her. As people around this country start to revolt against what's going on, particularly in these states where they're just not allowing people to live their lives normally. People like Cuomo and Whitmer and Newsom have just gotten this rush of power and they're drunk on it. And they have essentially instilled policies that are turning their states into mini socialisms, into dictatorships. Third world countries without all the filth and disease. Call it what you want, but I call it a terrorist state. So in keeping with the whole theme involving violent black males and the coronavirus, get a load of this. An 80-year-old woman who was described as a perfect grandmother by her family was stabbed and killed by a lifelong criminal this past Saturday in Houston, Texas. 38-year-old Randy Lewis, who has been arrested dozens of times in his life, may have been released from a mental health facility as part of a coronavirus jailbreak. Rosalie Cook was attacked by Lewis walking to her car after shopping at a Houston Walgreens. A responding officer who arrived at the scene found Lewis looting through Cook's car, and when he was attacked by Lewis in turn, shot him twice, fatally. Well, at least that part is good, but it still doesn't bring her back. Lewis has been arrested 67 times throughout his life. Court records indicate that he was set free on a waived bond on April 30th, having been detained at a mental health facility at the order of a judge pending the resolution of his case. So it's very possible, considering the timing of his release from custody, that this career criminal was released from this facility through a coronavirus jailbreak. County jails nationwide have released a third of their inmates on account of the pandemic, and in some cases more. That's not right. If they're in there, let them get it. I don't care. Stop releasing them into society. A Houston police chief, Art Acevedo, described the senselessness of this murder, and he wrote, "This is tragic, but the most tragedy here is that a woman has died from a guy who attacked her for no other reason than to steal from her and carjack her." And this was posted, it looks like Twitter. I don't have Twitter, but it's definitely not Facebook, so I'm going to guess it's Twitter. Somebody by the name of Joe Gamaldi. The monster who stabbed, murdered, robbed an innocent 80-year-old grandmother over the weekend has been arrested 67 times and was out on two felony PR bonds. The colossal failure of bail and CJ, criminal justice, reform in Houston is on full display here. So this guy's running like a cop. Innocent people are dying. This has to stop, in capital letters. And the Houston Police Officers Union went on to post this. Randy Lewis should have never been set free. Now an innocent woman has been murdered. Everyone deserves better. This is absolutely shameful, and I concur 100%. If Lewis was released from mental health facility as a result of a coronavirus jailbreak, and he's merely the latest serious criminal to get his, it's a get out of jail free card, just to go and commit more crimes. And my friends, this has been happening. You have to have noticed this, as I have. Ever since they started releasing these people, the crime rate has gone up, and violent crime too, because most of these people that are being turned loose have committed violent crimes. They're being released into our society, and we're almost powerless to stop them. They're essentially being let out of jail to commit more crimes. Do these people honestly think that letting them out of jail is going to stop their habits? No, it's not. They're going to continue to rape, rob, mug, kill, sexually assault, whatever it is that these violent thugs do when they're not incarcerated, they're going to continue to do if they are let out of jail. And I agree with that poster. This nonsense has got to stop. And the people who have put these policies into play need to be stopped as well. These politicians and bureaucrats need to pay for their actions. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. This entire country, no, let me change that. The whole world has been turned upside down because of this coronavirus nonsense. It's crap, it's garbage, and it's got to stop. I keep seeing people on Facebook posting about, well, we got to get used to this, and I hear the new normal. No, there ain't no new normal. There's no such thing as a new normal. We have all this new crap. It's not normal. Normal is what we had, and it's what we need to go back to. We need to stop turning these criminals loose. We need to stop acting like we're under a police state, like we're living in a police state, which is essentially what it's come down to, especially in places like Michigan. No, this is not a new normal. And we need to end this nonsense as soon as we can and get back to the real normal. And folks, we need to hold these politicians accountable come November. We must keep Donald Trump in the White House. We must vote out all of these politicians who have taken away our liberties from us in a time when we needed them the most. As completely backwards from the way it should have been. During this time, we should have had more freedoms, more liberties, not to have had them repressed. And we've got to hold these people accountable by voting them out of office. Well, my friends, that 30 minutes has come to an end. So as always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, stay awake, stay informed, stay healthy, stay out of jail, but by all means, please stay tuned, because I'll be back next week with another half hour. This has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.
shotgun.